Hello everyone, thanks for joining the podcast on the Startup Pulse. Today we have Upasana Sharma. She is the Managing Director of Startup Visa Program in Canada. She is the co-managing partner of Tendentia Ventures, and she is also the Vice President of TIE Toronto. TIE has a presence in 55 chapters in 12 countries. I am also part of TIE Southern California. This is how we met with Upasana. Upasana, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Anshuman, for having me. And thank you so much for such a generous introduction. Just a quick thing is, TIE Toronto, which is, as you know, is part of the massive TIE Global Network, is now a designated incubator under the Canadian Startup Visa Program. And we'll get into the details of that. And as you said, I'm also the managing partner with Tendentia Ventures, which is a designated venture capital group under the Startup Visa Program. And we'll take you the details of what it needs to be an incubator and VC under the program as we go ahead in the session.
Sure. Thank you so much, Upasana. So TIE Toronto is, is leading from the front when it comes to helping startups to come to the country and also building the, ecosystem locally. So tell us a little more about TIE Toronto, and then we will jump into the Startup Visa Program.
Definitely. As you know, TIE is a global network with around in 14 countries with over 60 chapters. And TIE Toronto is in Toronto, one of the most vibrant cities in North America. For the 19 years, TIE has very successfully launched their acceleration program called TIE Quest, where they have helped the early stage startups with the Canadian founders to establish themselves in the Canadian market. Our programs have always been focused on the five pillars of TIE, which is mentoring, education, access to funding, as well as incubation and networking. So while we were doing this so effectively for 19 years, and as you know, the entire network is based of founders across the globe. And the way TIE started was when the immigrant entrepreneurs from the Indus Valley origin did really well in the Silicon Valley. Starting in 1992, they brought TIE. So based on that notion that we were really having a very strong acceleration program, that we have done very well with the Canadian startups, and that our niche is, which many of the local Canadian incubators don't have, is that TIE, through its acceleration program, give these Canadian companies access into the US market. Because of the TIE network in the US market, most of the companies that we have accelerated, they come for TIE Silicon Valley, TIECon, and the other global competitions, and the access to the funding in the US market through the TIE network. Since we have done this very well, so when we came to know about the Canadian government's program, Startup Visa, which is focused on now bringing the immigrant entrepreneurs into the Canadian market, this was a very natural segue or offshoot for what we were doing. Our entire line of program, including TIE Quest, Open Mic, have all been there to foster entrepreneurship, help entrepreneurs get access to the market, network, funding. So we just now build up on the success over the years, which we have done incredibly well. Few of our companies which went through the TIE Quest program are now unicorns. It was a very natural segue to focus gear and add on to the TIE Startup Visa program. And that's where we are right now.
Very nice. So let's talk about this startup visa program that Canada is offering. What it is all about, who can apply, how the program works. So, let's cover one by one. So what is this Startup Visa program?
Thank you. That's a very important, actually, question to start off with. It's a federal immigration program. Word visa is a misnomer because it basically says something temporary. But Startup Visa program is one of the federal immigration program which gives you direct access to Canadian permanent residency. Okay, so people who qualify under this program, they're applying directly from Canadian PR. The requirements for the program could be set into three criteria. First, let's look at what your business needs to be doing, what your startup needs to be doing. Now, your business could be a big enterprise in your home country, but as long as it is coming to Canada, it doesn't have a lot of Canadian footprint, we can term it as a startup. So it doesn't need to be just startup. Any business which is innovative. Now, innovation could be in your product, in your process, in your services, any business which is innovative and which can compete on the global scale and will bring significant benefits to Canada, including creating jobs for Canadians, will qualify under this program. when we come to the individual founders, what we need to see is that the up to five founders in one startup, it could be one founder or up to five founders with their family, can apply for direct permanent residency under this program. The requirements are, first, they should be have English proficiency. So we are looking at IELTS and CELPIP at band CLB level 5. We also need to make sure that they have enough funds to pay for their families. And once they come, we explain them how much funds we need. Government wants to make sure when they're coming here, they can pay for their rent and food. This is called a settlement funds requirement. In 2023, government added another requirement that they need to know, see, do you have enough funds to actually grow the business that you're claiming to come to Canada for? There is no specific amount given by the government. As long as you satisfy that this is your growth, this is what your growth expansion plan for Canada is, and that you have sufficient funds to back that up, that is what is required to be seen. Okay,
so
and go ahead.
Yeah, so any company from around the world can apply for the, you know, Canada Startup Visa program. And any running operations also, as you said, that, you know, if they don't have a footprint in Canada, then, you know, they qualify to be called as a startup.
Even if they have a footprint, they have one or two customers, they will still qualify under the Startup Visa program. Yes. So as long as some of the companies could be as early as ideation stage, usually we at TIE prefer if they are early stage startup, at least they have minimum viable product. Anybody from an ideation stage company, anybody to have a running venture of making $40 million, they can all qualify under this program as long as they have an innovative idea, innovative business, innovative product, innovation in their operations, which will bring significant benefits to Canada, and it can compete on global scale. It's a very open and wide criteria there.
Sure, sounds good. So as I heard you, you know, you said from one founder to it could be five co-founders who can apply together with their family for the PR visa, you know, through their startup or through their company. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So under the program, the requirement is, again, up to five founders in a company can move to Canada to launch their startup. The requirement is each founder who is applying under the program, they should hold minimum 10% of the voting shares in the company. And together, these founders, along with the designated entity, should hold majority of the shares in the company. Just to give you an example, we have Mr. A, Mr. B, and Mr. C coming to us. As long as each of them have more than 10% shares in the company, and like we are an incubator, so usually we don't take equity in the company. So as long as these three people together hold more than 51% shares in the Canadian company, each of one of them would qualify. So sometimes people ask us, oh, I have a company in India. Can my subsidiary come under the Startup Visa program? The subsidiary won't work because in the majority of the shares are held by the entity in India. It would work that the founders who are coming themselves, they hold majority of the shares with them. That's the criteria.
Sounds good. This is great. So how it is different from investment-based visa? Like, you know, here in the US, we have EB-3 and EB-5. Yeah. Investment visa, and you can come that route also. How is this, you know, Canada Startup Visa program different?
There are a couple of things which are very, very different. Most of your EB-5 are based on massive amount of investment. I'm thinking it's around USD $1 million. So the threshold is pretty high. Under the Startup Visa program, first thing is government is not looking at your net worth. They are not interested what your assets are, how many houses you have. Secondly, government is not specifying that you have to invest $1 million. What government is saying is, whatever your expansion and business plan is, you should have reasonable funds to support that. Okay? So for example, if you're a SaaS-based company and you think you can launch the business and you need for the first 2 years before you become revenue positive around $200,000, that's reasonable. Your expansion plan is reasonable and it is supported by the right amount of funds. That's going to be enough. So the first difference is every other program is based on your net worth and how much money you have. Here, the number is not stipulated by the government. You need to have a reasonable plan to support your business. Second, there is no age bar and there is no education bar. But the key under this program is that do you have experiences and skill sets to run the company in Canada? The third and the most important difference, which is there, is any other business immigration program you take in Canada, I'm less aware about the US, the government first wants you to move to Canada, fulfill the promise of investing the money that you have promised, show that the network that you have, run the business for 2 to 3 years successfully, then they give you provincial nomination and you get PR. So it's around 3 to 4 years process. Mm-hmm. Startup visa, unlike those investment program, is the only immigration program which gives you direct access to permanent residency, provided you are qualified by a designated entity and you get a letter of support. You have an option that while PR is pending, you can come early on work permit and launch your startup. But you have the first you apply for PR and then you can apply for a work permit. That's a massive difference. So the difference is no specific amount stipulated by the government. Second, focuses mainly not on your network, but who you are, your education, skill set, and experiences, that whether you can run the startup. And the most importantly, this is the only program which gives you direct application into Canadian permanent residency.
Wow, this is great, yeah. And this is huge, big. So you said two words, letter of support and the designated entities.
Yes.
Can you describe what is a letter of support and who are the designated entities?
Perfect. That's again a very good question. So the designated entities are entities which have been delegated power by the Canadian government to do due diligence on the applicants who are applying for startup visa program. In any startup ecosystem, in anywhere in the world you go, there are three or four kinds of organizations which are very active. There are incubators, accelerators, angel investors, and VC groups. So Canadian government was really smart. They knew that they don't have a lot of in-house expertise, or they didn't want to develop a whole lot of in-house expertise to figure out some startup applying for startup visa, whether it's a good startup or a bad startup. So what Canadian government did, they went to some of Canada's leading incubators, VCs, and angel investor groups and said, we are designating you under the program. These are called designated entities. They come under three categories again. Incubators, accelerators, one category, angels, investors, second, and VCs are third. No rocket science. Anybody can just Google up Canada.ca. The website has the list of all the designated entities. So what government told these designated entities, that you deal with startups all the time. We know you do it well. This is the criteria that we have for the startup visa program. Please set up your own internal due diligence process, which is based on how you have been working with the Canadian startups. Uh-huh. As long as you feel the startup meets the industry standards if you would have applied to a Canadian company and they meet those industry standards, and the startup visa applicants also meet those industry standards, then issue them a document called letter of support. Now, meet industry standards for what? Typically, an incubator working with a Canadian company will look at the company, do the diligence, and offer them a position in their incubator program. Similarly, under startup visa incubators like TAI, what we have to do is we have to do a due diligence on an applicant who's applying under startup visa program. As long as they meet the criteria of our program, we offer them a position in our startup visa incubation program. Similarly, if you're applying to an angel investor group, angels invest in the company. The regulation says if an angel investor group, you want to give a letter of support to someone, the company should be able to raise $75,000 from a member in your angel investor group. For VCs, the rule is that you want to get a letter of support from a venture capitalist group, you should be able to raise $200,000 from that VC group. What instructions have been given to us as designated entities? That the industry standards you would have applied as an incubator to get admission into your incubation program, or as an angel investor or VC group to invest in a company, please follow those standards, okay? And if the company fulfills that standard successfully, give government a document called commitment certificate. It lays out clearly what we have done as a due diligence on the company, why this company we think should qualify for startup visa. Submit that to the government and issue a letter of support to the applicants so that then the government knows we are supporting them. It is this document, which called letter of support, once you have from a designated incubator, VC, or angel investor group, that directly qualifies you to apply for permanent residency under the startup visa program. That's sure. The relationship between designated entities and letters of support.
And the letter of support. So there is a foreign entity in India, in some other country, they apply through your application process. And then you have a team who will evaluate them to yes. make sure that, you know, they qualify to come here on the PR visa of the startup visa program. So they are still in their country. You are evaluating them here. And then you will, after the due diligence, you will offer them a letter of support because yes. you are a designated entry. What happens? Do they come just after that? Or when does the PR visa kicks in? You know, is it after your letter of support? Or yeah. it there is a process after that? And, you know, when will the startup founder come to Canada?
So let me just answer. There are four or five questions which are all there, and let me answer them in bits and pieces. What happens before letter of support? What happens after letter of support? Sure. And when they come into Canada? Let's start what happens before the letter of support. Okay. You're right. The founders would be in their home country. Okay. Because our entire process is online. It's a four-step process. They start with an interest form, which is completed. After the interest form information, we know the industry sector they are in. We give that information to the industry expert. I'm talking about before letter of support program, specifically for TIE Toronto. This is how we do it. Every incubator has their own process. Okay. In our case, their first step is interest form. Based on the interest form, if we think what they are telling fits the criteria for our program, we send them a more detailed form to complete. Along with that detailed intake form, which is the second step, intake form, they need to provide us a pitch deck or a business plan for their business. Mm-hmm. We hand it over to a subject matter or industry expert in our panel of mentors who look at the form and then make a criteria whether this company should be invited for the third step in our process is for the interview. Okay, our interviews happen on Zoom where all the founders are present. It's a 45-minute session where they get to present their company, which is followed by Q&A, where we want to know more about the company. If they pass the interview, the third step, then the fourth step in our process is they join the document due diligence process. Now, they have made all these claims, how good their company is, how good they are. Yeah. We believe in them, but visa offices doesn't have the chance to sit on this interview. It is our job to make sure what all claims they have made, are they being backed up by the documents? That's our due diligence. Mm-hmm. We get all those documents, and if we are satisfied that this company fulfills our requirement, we offer them a position in our incubation program. That is when they qualify for letter of support. We put together all these documents, which we think is very important and key, what they have provided to us, and provide everything to Immigration Canada along with the commitment certificates to show that how we have determined this company fulfills the requirement of the startup visa process and why we are supporting this company. So it's not visa officers are looking into confusion, like why were they given a letter of support? Yeah. We as TIE Toronto, I think so we can say that we have one of the best due diligence processes and one of the best packages which are being submitted to Immigration Canada. So that's the first part of your question. How did they reach to the letter of support, online process, in their country, four steps, interest form, intake form, interview, document due diligence. There are only a few cases where it might be requiring them for a second interview if it's more complicated and our industry experts have follow-up questions. Okay. Yeah. And your second question was now, what happens post letter of support? Am I right?
Okay. Yes.
Now, post letter of support, there are two things which founders will do and which we will do. Post letter of support, we tell founders they have up to 8 months to start our incubation program, which they can start anytime during those 8 months. Now, usually what founders will do, they'll take their letter of support, go to an immigration lawyer. If they don't have, we can make introduction to some of the leading Canada-based immigration lawyers. It's just a recommendation. They take the letter of support to their immigration representative and they file for their permanent residency application. Okay? Under the startup visa process, once the application gets in with Immigration Canada, that's when the processing clock ticks off. Okay? At this time, what we have seen, once they file for their permanent residency, which is the date their application is filed with their immigration lawyer, it takes somewhere between 1.5 years to 2.5 years to land in Canada as a permanent resident. Okay? So our intake process finishes. We issue the letter of support. Immigration lawyer work on the file. Once the immigration lawyer submits the application, it takes around 1.5 years to 2 years. Now, you and I know, Anshuman, that 2.5 years could be a lifetime in a startup's life cycle. Yeah. The product could be obsolete. They cannot wait. So there is an option. It's not mandatory, but there is an option. If the before we issue the letter of support, we ask the founders, do you plan, is there an urgency for you to enter Canada that you cannot wait for 2.5 years to get your PR? And if they justify to us, yes, there is an urgency. We have, there is this, we want to gain the benefits of first market entry. There are not many competitors. Or this is a problem which is now we need to get in and get the user base. Then there is an option to apply for work permit within the startup visa program. They're not applying under any other program. Within the startup visa program, we tick off on the commitment certificate to the government that these founders want to apply for their work permit. Then their immigration lawyers can apply for work permit. But first, it's an immigration program. They file for the permanent residency application. Then immigration lawyers can immediately start working on the work permit application. And these founders don't need to wait in their company for 1.5 to 2 years. They can enter Canada on a work permit. How much time it takes to get work permit? It depends on the visa post. Some of the visa posts are fast enough to issue the work permit within 2 weeks. Like, for example, India right now takes between 8 to 12 weeks, which is 2 to 3 months. US is between 12 to 15 weeks again. So if they can, once the PR is filed, they apply for work permit, they can immediately enter Canada on a work permit and they can start working on their startup. That's the timelines usually it takes place. Some founders, when they come on work permit, they want to do the incubation program in person. We are totally fine with them. Some they say we want to do it online because we don't want to stop while work permit is pending. We want continuity. Some of them can do it online as well.
So letter of support, then it goes to the immigration attorney to put together the application, files it. It may take anywhere between 1.5 years to 2 years. But then if there is an urgency for the, you know, for the startup founder to come to Canada, they can file for the work permit. Depending upon the country that you are coming from, it takes anywhere between 6 weeks to 12 weeks to get the work permit to come. Can the family also come on work permit?
Very good question. That's brilliant. Yes. That's the beauty of Canadian work permits. So the question, there are actually many benefits. Let me go. When a startup founder applies for work permit, their entire family can apply with them. The spouse or the partner or the husband or the wife of the primary applicant, who's a startup visa applicant, they get an open work permit, which means they can go and work with anyone in Canada. The startup visa founders right now get a closed work permit, which means that they can only work with the startup. But the government has in the past come out with the news that they are considering that they can do even open work permit for the primary applicants because they understand startup takes time to make revenue. People have to sustain. As long as they're working on their startups, they can work on the side. That's for the families. So the primary applicant who is the under startup visa, they right now get a closed work permit. Government may implement the policy to give them open work permit. Second, the spouses, the partners, husband or wife, they get open work permit of that person. They can go and work anywhere. Children up to the age of 22, less than 22, are dependent on the startup visa application.
Okay.
If they're over the age of 22, they are not dependent. Under the age of 22, they are dependent. They are applying for PR with the family. And when it comes to like temporary resident visa, if your child is under the going up to grade 12, they will automatically get a dependent student permit. They can come to Canada and go to any public school free of cost. Okay. Government right now also have a temporary policy. If your child is over the age of 18 and less than 22, they can even apply for an open work permit because we have labor shortage. Your children can come with you and gain hands-on experience of working in Canada. But if your child is going to a university or college, they will not get a dependent student permit at that time. That then they come under the standard process of post-secondary education work permit, which will be dependent on their admission letter or offer letter from a college or a university. But that doesn't mean that they don't have a benefit. Some of the Canadian colleges and universities, I know University of Toronto, Schulich, and York University, and some of our clients who have worked with us, they have told us Waterloo, they do offer students domestic tuition discount, which is given to people who have Canadian permanent residency or citizenship, which is usually 1/10 of the fee being paid by international students, to the students whose parents are on a closed work permit. And that startup visa offers you a closed work permit. So your children who are going to college and university, even if they're entry to Canada is dependent on their offer of admission, but they can avail the domestic tuition discount because you are in Canada on startup visa closed work permit. That's a huge benefit. What I've heard, Anshuman, that sometimes the people who pay around $45,000 a year for a course program, that fee comes down to $5,000 to $6,000 a year.
Yeah, that is huge, Upasana. Thanks for sharing this. When I was doing my research on this Canada Startup Visa program, I came to learn about two words, settlement fund and investment funds. What are those?
Perfect. So settlement funds are very easy. That's the standard by any Canadian government, any program you apply, express entry. So Canadian government has something we call as LICO, low income threshold. For startup visa, they say, they change it every year. They say, if you're coming to Canada, this low income threshold funds you should have in your bank accounts, which you should show us are available, and you can bring them to Canada with you to pay for your food expenses and everything. These are called settlement funds. If you're just applying for PR, you need to show you have that for, I would say 21, 26 weeks. If you're applying for work permit, you need to show it for 52 weeks. I'll just give you an example. For a family of four, we are looking just over between 40 to 50,000 Canadian dollars in settlement funds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what you need to do, you just need to provide 6 months of bank statements from your banks. It could be from one bank or separate bank. It has to be personal bank accounts. It could be your bank account or your wife's bank account or your joint bank accounts or your spouse's bank accounts, where you show, oh, I have more than enough money. Look, these are the funds available. I've been maintaining them for 6 months, because government doesn't want that you take money in one go with someone, put it in the account and give it back. So they need 6 months of average. So whatever the threshold for the settlement funds is, which is based on number of family members and low income threshold, which the government releases. So for a family of four, it's different. Five is different. Two is different. You just need to show, based on the table, these are the number of family members and these are my settlement funds, that you have been maintaining that money for up to 6 months in your account. You send the 6 months bank statement, and government wants to see that when you land, you have the money. Investment funds. Now, that's a bit of a tricky method. As I said before, even in EB-5 or any other Canadian immigration program, government has usually stipulated X amount of dollars they need to move to Canada. For example, sure. Ontario nomination program says you need to, if you're coming to GTA on a tech company, you need to show 400,000 of net worth and minimum 200,000 of investment. PEI has a program which says 100,000. BC has a program which says 600,000 of net worth and 200,000 of investment. So every time government stipulated the number. Startup visa, for the longest period of time, there was no guidance from the government about how do we show investment funds, or do we even need to show investment funds or not. Then in May of 2023, the government came with the update, with a policy. It's an update where they are telling the visa officers, hey, when you're looking for a work permit application under the startup visa program, that's where for the first time they said investment funds. And that's what everybody has been asking. If they're coming to Canada, they want to run the business, you're not telling what to do, do they need money or not? So government clarified there. It's still very ambiguous and very broad. It says that when you're assessing the application for a work permit under the startup visa program, please look at that the founders have enough money available, enough funds available with them. Again, cash, unencumbered, which could be brought to Canada immediately to support the operations of their business. Okay. Again, they're not stipulating the amount, that it has to be 200, 300, 400,000. But they give the visa officer discretion to say, hey, you can make an assessment. The funds which they are showing is enough to support the business or not. So as a designated entity, what we do is we look at the business plan, we look at the expansion plan of what the clients are saying, then we tell them, okay, this is what you want to expand, give us the financial model, that this expansion steps are going to take this much amount of money, and where is this money coming from? Okay, Government of Canada has said this thing for work permits per se, but I don't think so. Visa officer are going to say, hey, I'm going to look at the money if you're applying for work permit, but I'm not going to look for money if you're applying for PR. So we keep it consistent that if you're coming to Canada and you're launching the business, please show us that you have sufficient funds to launch that business. Now, for the settlement funds, it's not necessary that it has to be your personal funds in your personal bank account. You can show that these funds are, you have raised money from somewhere, or you have access to this funding. There is a co-founder which is investing the money, or you are taking the money from your business. As long as government has want to show the provenance, where is this money coming from? Who is giving this money? And it is available to run the business in Canada. Okay.
Sure.
The difference is settlement funds is for personal use. It has to be in personal account, 6 months of average. Investment funds, no amount specific. There is no table there. It has to be reasonable to support the business operations that you're claiming you will do. And you need to show where that money is coming from. What is the provenance of those funds?
Understood, Upasana. So let's talk a little about your incubation program. So when the startup applied through you to get into the startup visa program, you were talking about they can do online incubation program, they can come here on the PR visa or open work or close work permit and can do the incubation program here. What is the cost of the incubation program? How long is the incubation program? And what are the benefits of the incubation program?
Definitely. So just to clarify here, our incubation program is only starts post the letter of support. Some of the incubators, people do the boot camps before they are given the letter of support. Because we are dealing with many companies, which are very growth stage companies as well, those who are making revenue. So we didn't keep the boot camp program because we want to cater to all the kind of companies. We think that when they are growth stage companies, those who are having millions of dollars in revenue, we want to have a very customized program. So our intake is, as I said, forms, interview and document due diligence, and it gives you the letter of support. Our incubation program is post letter of support. You have the option to do it online or you can do it in person within 8 months of getting the letter of support. Now, if somebody really wants to do it in person and they are not able to get work permit within 8 months, we are more than happy to look into the exigent circumstances and extend the deadline that way. Our program right now is a 6 months program, okay? 3 months of it is absolutely structured on a platform where you need to complete some courses, you need to complete some milestones to make sure that what you claim to us that you'll be launching the in Canada, your company, you're doing all those steps. So we can report to Immigration Canada, yes, they are doing what they promise. The other 3 months, we have kept it unstructured because they are matured in 3 months. They know what they want in Canada. Then those 3 months, we can customize as per the needs of the company. For example, a company for the next 3 months wants to focus on their go-to-market strategy. So we go to the mentors who are experts in that go-to-market strategy for that industry sector, and they can work with those specific mentors. Some company says, oh, next 3 months, we just want to focus on marketing and branding. That's our focus because that's what we need to get sales going. So those 3 months, we customize as per the needs of the startup. So these 6 months, you have the option to even have a shared office space with us in downtown Toronto, where our office is, which is the Ontario Center of Innovation. And Shivan, that's actually the core of Toronto's startup community, Ontario Center of Innovation 111. So with us, the companies who are doing incubation program with TIE Toronto, they're going to be in the hub of Toronto's and Canada's startup ecosystem at that time. We are also, TIE Toronto is in working with, and we will make some news releases very soon. We are working with some other local Canadian incubators who have niche in their sectors. Like some incubators have their niche in medical-based technologies or health tech. Some of them are fintech. So we are having a collaboration program with them to make sure that they will have access to those specific sectors. And as you know, the biggest competitive edge that we have over any other incubator in Canada right now is that TIE Toronto, post the 6 months program, will give the founders an option to a US market access program. And as we know that we're working very closely with SoCal chapter to build up this program with you guys to develop. And that's going to be a benefit for so many startups that once they have done in Canada, and if US market entry is what they require, or they want to nearshore for the US in Canada, we will have that program for them because TIE comes with a massive US network and we will take it on that direction there. So that's our program. The cost, as you said, the cost for this massive program, the first 6 months where you can have an office space in Ontario Center for Innovation and have a structured program through our platform partner, where they're giving them access to up to $1 million in services like AWS, Zoom, and all that, is just $25,000 Canadian dollars, which is one of the most, I would say, economical program on the market right now.
No, this is just the, a small fee to get a lot of benefit and, you know, explore a new country as your marketplace for your startup. And, you know, obviously, you know, you guys are providing services, be it through the incubation program, guiding, mentoring them, or making them be prepared for the outer world for angel investing or VC funding.
Absolutely.
So there is a small cost involved in there. So, I completely get it. My final question, you know, how many visa applications Canadian government is going to process in 2024?
I think so. This year, their target is 5,000. And next year, it's going to be 6,500. So that's the number of applications they are doing in. There is a category called, I think some immigration lawyers would know it better, for the self-employed category. And startup visa is a part of that self-employed category, which is a long way we have come. So up till 3 years ago, 2022, Canadian government was only doing 1,000 applications a year. Okay.
Right.
As the program is such a sought after program and people, Canadian government can also see the value, it is attracting the best of the entrepreneurial talent into the Canadian into Canada. It's growing and the Canadian startup ecosystem is also right now very vibrant, very supportive. So we saw the government commitment to the program. So last year they increased in 2023, they went from 1,000 to 3,000 applications. 2024, there are 5,000 applications. And in 2025, it's 6,500. I might be a little bit wrong on the numbers, but we can Google up. And government every year brings their new targets. And we have consistently seen that their target for startup visa is increasing, that they are trying to. This is also one of the reasons is that there's some backlog, which is there in this program. And during COVID, as you know, most of the time, the operations were shut. So there is a backlog. And this will also help them to cover a lot of backlog. Some people might say that I said between 1.5 years to 2 years to get the PR and they go to the Canadian government website, it says 37 months. I think so that 37 months was kind of true during COVID when the files were really slow. Even if they have not updated the number on the Canadian government website, we have seen that the companies that we have been working with, they are getting their PRs between 14 months. Some of them have gotten 14 months and most of them are getting within 2.5 years period.
Sure, sounds good. So 5,000 new visa application for 2024.
Yes.
And
yes.
I urge the startup founders to go to the website and, you know, fill out the form and, you know, check it out. Go through the process and, you know, see how good the TIE Toronto team is in, you know, getting in touch with you and taking you forward with the Canadian visa program. Upasana, I also know that you're going to India on a multi-city trip. Let's talk a little about those trips. You know, which cities are you going to and what is the purpose of this visit and how you are going to attract the startup founders in those cities to come to you, meet with you and know a little more about the Canadian visa, startup visa program and how to apply.
As you know, India is one of the fastest growing startup ecosystem in the world. It's one of the fastest and it's very vibrant. And most of the Indian companies and founders with good English proficiency, they're also looking to launch their products and everything in the North American market. So I think so it's a very right time to go to India. But India also brings the challenge that there's a lot of misinformation about the program on the ground. So the best way is to go there. The mission of this program is to tell people how, what the program is, what the requirements are, how they can apply, and how TIE brings a world-class, best-in-the-class incubation program to help them launch their business in Canada, but also help them launch the business in the US market if it is required be through our network. So it's more about spreading the information, getting to know people. And if they're good startups, we can assist them and get them in. That'll be great. In fact, this whole trip is so promising that KPMG Canada is sending to some of two of their top-notch lawyers who have made their those who knows in and outside of everything about startup visa program from the legal side coming with us. So if people have information, they have any questions, they need to seek clarifications, they can get with us. As you said, it's a multi-city plan, so it's very busy. We are reaching, starting with Chandigarh. We are in Chandigarh on the 2nd of March. We will be at the ThaiCon Chandigarh, and I've heard the agenda for the ThaiCon Chandigarh is global thrust, so this perfectly fits in there. We will be in Bangalore from the 3rd and 5th of March. 5th and 6th, we will be in Hyderabad. The Bangalore, we will be having it in ITC. Hyderabad, our session is going to be at the KPMG office, most probably. We'll have a confirmation a little later. 7th, 8th, and 9th, we will be in Delhi. And post-Delhi, we will be going to, after 9th, is 11th and 12th in Jaipur, they can find us. And 13th and 14th will be in Surat. So multi-city India trip, both A cities, B cities. We know in India, every city has a lot of startups. Idea is they come for an information session with us. They can seek questions and answers from us during the session. Post sessions, we will be available on one-on-one meetings if required be. We will be sending out our Calendly links, as you know how sought after will be. So I'm guessing if you're interested, they need to get booked right now. As soon as we send the Calendly link out, you will have a Canadian designated entity representatives there from TAI Toronto, which is an incubator, from Tangentia, which is a designated VC group. And we will have KPMG Canada coming with us to help us also spread the information about how the process works legally, so we can actually get the clear information so people can make an informed decision if this program is right for them, and if it is right for them, how to apply and how to do it right.
Wow. So Chandigarh, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Delhi, Jaipur, Surat. So
and
six
Calcutta.
And Calcutta. Wow. Wow. So seven cities. So all the best to you, Upasana. You know,
Thank you. I
call upon here all the startup founders from Chandigarh, Calcutta, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Delhi, Jaipur, and Surat to take benefit of this, of Upasana's visit. And KPMG, two folks from KPMG are going with you. So startup founders, you can understand how serious they are about this, you know, Canadian startup visa program. All the best to you, and we'll be in touch. For all my Startup Pulse, you know, viewers, you know, this is going to be a great program. So, you know, please go meet with Upasana in the cities, Chandigarh, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Delhi, Jaipur, Surat, and Calcutta. We will be publishing the dates, and check out TAI Toronto website, and you will get more details over there. So with that, I come to a close of our weekly podcast called the Startup Pulse. Thank you so much, Upasana, for giving time to me and talking about the Canadian Startup Visa Program. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anshuman, for having me. It was my pleasure. Thank you.